and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan is in Beijing, wrapping up a meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Sullivan working to keep the lines of communication open between the two powers.
Our aim in every engagement with China is to deliver for the American people.
The relationship between China and the U.S. has become increasingly tense, with manufacturing and trade some of the big issues. Boar's Head deli meat linked to a deadly listeria outbreak nationwide. 9 people have died. Others in 18 states are sick.
57 people have now been hospitalized, and the CDC warns customers may still have the tainted meat in their fridge. The long shelf life for certain products like bacon and salami means some recalled meats have best buy dates through October.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. United flight attendants voting almost unanimously to go on strike over low pay and risky work conditions. Despite United profits up more than 20%, United says talks are ongoing and they're eager to reach an agreement. This is ABC News. The Israeli army says it's killed 5 more militants in operations in the West Bank. The IDF says one of those killed was an Islamic Jihad commander. All 5 died in a shootout with Israeli soldiers after the militants hit out in a mosque. Water troubles at the Grand Canyon.
After 4 main waterline breaks to the line that supplies water from the Grand Canyon for use in the park, now severe water restrictions are going into place. Grand Canyon National Park announcing visitors won't be able to stay overnight in hotels in the park through at least Labor Day, as hotels are booked to capacity. Effective Thursday, all park concessions will halt overnight stays. Only dry camping will be allowed, and no fires will be allowed on the South Rim and inner canyon areas of the park. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And go ahead, sleep in if you can this weekend. It's good for your health. A new study suggests getting some extra sleep could reduce your risk of heart disease by some 20%. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
November 21st, 2021. The Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. A holiday celebration turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed 6, including an 8-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden is coming back to the Badger State. He'll be here next Thursday, although details haven't been announced yet. He'll focus on the economy and his administration's record working for middle-class Americans. This will be his first visit to Wisconsin since stepping down from the race and endorsing his vice president, Kamala Harris. And it's a long-term problem for Wisconsin public schools. Enrollment is dropping. It's been happening for years now. Education leaders are quick to point out that when enrollment drops, costs per student actually go up. Luther Olson is the statewide network liaison for the CESA Education Agency.
We fund on a per capita basis, but in reality, that cost goes up. So everybody says, well, you know, you have less kids, you don't need as much money. But unfortunately, that's not quite the case.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
Big inning leads to a big win in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. The Brewers used a 5-run fifth inning to win 5-3 over the San Francisco Giants Wednesday night. Manager Pat Murphy said that they got some timely hitting in the middle of the game.
I like the fact that we got a big 2-out hit, opposite field ground ball by Churio, and then Perkins, who had a great night. And then Contreras put an exclamation point on it.
William Contreras hit a two-run home run in the inning, while Freddy Peralta struck out 8 in 6 innings of work as Milwaukee climbed to 20 games over 500. The series finale is Thursday afternoon. The Green Bay Packers cut their roster down to 53 this week, including making some big decisions at kicker and running back. The Packers open the season a week from tomorrow against the Eagles in Brazil. And the Wisconsin Badgers kick off their football season tomorrow night against Western Kentucky at 8 p.m. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. Some locally heavy rain possible, an inch or more in spots. Our high today, 81. After that, heading into a fantastic weekend, sunny, more comfortable. We're talking highs in the low 70s by Sunday at Labor Day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview Donald Trump being in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and much more. We'll discuss it. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, August 29th, 2024. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network through the app, on social media, or on demand by podcast. Nice to have you here on this Thursday morning. I've got a question for you, specifically those of you listening on the Eagle in La Crosse. Are you ready for a big day? It's going to be a very busy day in La Crosse. Many things going on at once, not the least of which is former President Trump bringing the circus to town for an alleged town hall meeting of some sort. Whatever he does today has to be better than what he did the previous 24 hours that we'll tell you about in just a little bit. Coming up on the program this morning, Democrats have come out of their convention in Chicago with high hopes of turning the page and embracing a new presidential nominee. So we will ask our friend Joe Zepecki if that sentiment can carry over to moderate and independent voters post-convention. And Trump arrives in La Crosse. Meanwhile, the outgoing president is announcing his own trip to Wisconsin. Expect Joe Biden to have a lot to say about his record for job growth here in the state. In our second hour, we're going to get recombobulated. We are going to meet up with our friend Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, who is also the new political editor for Civic Media, joining the Civic Media family. And we'll get to know a candidate for state assembly in a district that straddles eastern Dane County and western Jefferson County. We'll be joined by Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good for this week's Women Win Wisconsin segment. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also text us to that same number or call us. You can also use the Civic Media app. If you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, drop a comment or a question in the comment section. We may see it and put it up on screen, and you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. That's our website, upnorthnewswi.com, a separate entity from Civic Media. But still, we're friends. We're all friends. And Greg Bach is like the linchpin of that friendship.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm tired. I definitely picked up a little something in Chicago, a little head cold or something. And yeah. I know other people have as well. Other people have gotten much worse, and I'm thankful not to be one of them. But I am more than ready for a long holiday weekend. I'm sure you are too. You've been doing double duty.
Yeah, it's
filling in for Jane here on her break. So
Yeah, filling in, producing the show, and then doing this show as well. I'm having Monday off, which will be nice, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see my family in Indiana, and it's gonna be a good time. See my nieces who are cool.
That's right. That's right. I will be off tomorrow as well. We will be running a 2-hour special from 6 to 8 tomorrow morning with all of the Wisconsin folks that I talked to at the Chicago convention. I've spent the past few days assembling that all so that it's like one-stop shopping for the voices of Wisconsin at the Democratic convention. So that'll play tomorrow while I take a longer weekend and Greg can sleep in a little bit as well. And then we get started. So with you traveling, does that mean the Laughing Tap takes the weekend off?
No, well, I'll be there on Friday, and the show will be going on Saturday. I just will not be there on Saturday, but it's going to be a great one. Tim Smith is headlining. One show on Friday, one show on Saturday. We're going to have a good time.
Very nice. Okay. And then also tomorrow will be the opening of the Badger football season, which will take place at home at Camp Randall against Western Michigan. And in the Up North News Daily newsletter, Christina Laurie has quite an article about the history of the Big Ten from back when it was just 9 to where it is now at 18. If you were going to be correct, it's not the Big Ten, it's the Big 18, and now a coast-to-coast conference, which I'm still not really digging, but I mean, I didn't get a vote, so this is the Big Ten that we have now.
Do you think they're going to rebrand the name then? I mean, it just makes sense.
No. Here's the main reason why, and I got this from Christina's thing. Everybody wants to be in the Big Ten. It's like the Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave. There's only been one full-time team, a school, part of the Big Ten, that ever left the Big Ten, and that was the University of Chicago, which was a founding member back in 1896. They dropped football in 1940 and left the conference for good in 1946. Since then, it's all been teams trying to get in, and nobody wants to leave. The Big Ten has just got that kind of a brand name.
Is it just going to become a point where it envelops, like...
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
There it is.
It is. That's really what this whole thing is about this. And, I mean, let there be no doubt. Anybody that listens to sports talk radio knows exactly where I'm going with this. The goal is to have one conference of 64 teams. You know, your brackets that you make for March Madness?
Yeah.
They're just going to make... They don't want the NCAA... You know, the schools themselves want their own conference... Much like Major League Baseball, remember when they got rid of the commissioner and they put Bud Selig in charge? Because they're like, we don't need an independent outside commissioner. We can police ourselves. And that's what these colleges want to do, these college sports programs. Is like, we don't want some entity, you know, setting rules. We want to set our own rules. And I'll let other people decide whether self-policing is a good thing or not. But yeah, eventually... The hope is to have one big 64-team conference. The schools will decide how they're going to set up their tournaments and where the money goes and everything else. It's inevitable. But for now, we've got this conference where if you are – never mind the football team. It makes money, you know. But if you're on the volleyball team, if you're on the Badger golf team or some other, you know, minor sport that doesn't get, you know, 100,000 people in the stadium, your conference schedule might take you out to New Jersey to go play a tournament or a game in Rutgers. And then you might be going completely across the country to take on the Oregon Ducks, you know, the next time after that. When you look at the map in the newsletter and you see how nice it was, how compact it was when the Big Ten was just Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Northwestern, Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, Michigan State, Ohio State, just those 10 teams right there in the middle. It was an easy regional conference, and now it's just this behemoth. And again, great for football money, but it just doesn't seem we've really gotten away from the spirit of why we have, you know, regional sports conferences so that you can play your neighbors, you know.
And you know what really helps with long, long distance traveling, many, many days of the week, it really helps that education those kids are getting.
That education. You're adorable.
Thank you.
I mean, it's the money. It's basically becoming, you know, the minor leagues, the minor league system, if you will.
That's,
you know,
exactly what I was about to ask you. I was like, when does this just become, you know what, guys, don't worry about school. This is now your minor league experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, if that is, you know, some kind of a side product, if you will, that brings in all kinds of money to help with the actual academic institutions behind them, then I'd be all for it. But if you've got, you know, the Taj Mahal of athletic training facilities, but, you know, the history department or the biology department is still scrounging around and looking for a change between the sofa cushions, well, then that ain't right. And so, and I don't know what the status, how you would describe that status right now. I just know what it should be. And if this whole setup gets you there, then I guess it's okay. But I mean, I just don't know if it is or not, to be honest.
It just sounds like, as a non-college sports fan and leery of many of those things, it just, they might as well just say, hey, it's for the money. We want to make more money, and that's all there is to it, so just accept it. And Pat, when has self-policing ever failed?
I was going to make some comment about Boar's Head Meats has a recall in a Listeria outbreak. Ever since the Trump administration relaxed the rules and let some meat companies inspect themselves, that's worked out really well. Just ask, you know, the eight victims of the Listeria outbreak so far. So there's such a clear contrast in political visions. And of course, for me, it always all comes back to politics. You had two senators in Northeast Wisconsin this week. You had Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and you had Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, Trump's running mate, in De Pere yesterday. And they both said, there are clear contrasts between us and the other guys. And they were both exactly right. It's just that when you really look at that contrast, like, I don't know, self-policing the meat that you're producing, you know, versus safety inspections that are properly funded, I know which side of the fence I come down on, but if the other side can run enough commercials that scare people about, you know, illegal aliens and things like that, well, then they get to protect their tax cuts and their self-policing and everything else. So to me, it always just comes back to, you know, again, who's involved in politics and why, and what kind of self-interest is involved here. Is, again, it's really not that different. Big money politics, big money sports. If you got big money, you're trying to protect the big money.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when they were, like, trying to make it seem like there wasn't self-interest, but now these politicians, like, on the J.D. Vance side are like, yeah, no, it's about us. It's fine. You'll be fine.
Don't worry about it. It's about money wherever you can get it.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is hawking what he claims are pieces of fabric from his suit that he wore in the debate with Joe Biden. And if you give him so much money, you get, like, a trading card with a little piece of fabric in there.
Gross. I don't want a piece of fabric from my favorite people, let alone one of my least favorite people.
And that's even if it is, you know, from that suit, which I mean, we know where I'm coming down on that one. Baseball wise, how about those Brewers? They win again. William Contreras capped a 5-run fifth inning with a 2-run home run. Freddie Peralta pitched 6 scoreless innings. The Brewers beat the San Francisco Giants last night 5-3. Devin Williams bounced back from his first blown save last week at St. Louis with a 1-2-3 ninth inning for his 6th save in 7 chances since coming back from that injury stint where he missed about 100 games. So with it, I think we're taking a pivot. We're not talking about the Brewers' lead in the division. We're now talking about where the Brewers are in the top spots in the playoffs. If they can get one of those top 2 spots and they don't have to play in the wild card round, and they're within 1.5 games of Philly for one of those spots. So let's keep that up. Brewers play again this afternoon at 1:10. We'll unpack more of the news after this. You're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Michael Jackson would have been 66 years old today. We'll have more birthdays and historical events coming up in our history lesson. In just 30 short minutes from now on this Thursday morning on Up North News Radio. So former President Trump is coming to La Crosse this evening for what is being billed as a town hall on economic issues. It is supposed to be part of, I can't believe I'm using this word again, a pivot back to the issues rather than just insults and invectives and, you know, verbal diarrhea, that he's actually going to listen to voters and hear about their concerns and talk about what he's going to do about their economic concerns. I have my doubts, and let me tell you why. And I'm going to read this directly from Hannah Knoll's article in the Washington Post. Donald Trump amplified a vulgar joke about Vice President Kamala Harris performing a sex act. He falsely accused her of staging a coup to secure the Democratic nomination and faulted her without evidence for a security lapse that enabled a rogue gunman to try to assassinate him. He shared a manipulated online image of Bill Gates in an orange jumpsuit and a call for Barack Obama to face a military tribunal. He promoted explicit tributes to the QAnon conspiracy theory. He hawked digital trading cards in an online infomercial along with pieces of his debate night suit. And his campaign feuded publicly with Arlington National Cemetery over their visit. And that was just in the span of the last 24 hours. That's how Donald Trump started his week. Before he even gets to La Crosse, it has been a while since he has done much of any work in a swing state. Remember how, was it just a couple of weeks back, a spokesperson said, oh, you're about to see Trump on steroids. He's going to be traveling and doing even more rallies. And no, he just parachutes occasionally into places like Wisconsin and then goes back behind his keyboard and sends all of these things that are vulgar or lies or says things that really make you wonder how bad things could get if Trump were to actually get reelected, you know, to a second non-consecutive term. This is the guy who said last weekend that he would fire generals who disagree with him and replace the generals with loyalists. You know, the kind of thing that you might see in Russia or North Korea. It's just another way of saying that the guardrails that were there to protect America during Trump's first term would not be there this time, because Trump is not running for president. He's not running for president. He's running to stay out of prison. He's running, if he can get that done, then he wants to be a flat-out dictator. It's one or the other for him. He wants to be an authoritarian, and he wants to trample over as many people's rights as he can even those people who have supported him in the past. And don't kid yourself that way. There's a reason why dozens of people who have served directly under Trump and hundreds of Republicans who have served in office have come out against him and are trying to warn people. They're trying to warn people. It's like a disaster movie where all these folks are trying to provide warnings and too many other people are la-la-la not listening because he's their favorite celebrity. And that this is, you know, voting for Trump is going to send some kind of a message of defiance. No, it's going to send a message that is going to send your taxes higher, going to threaten your job, going to increase your prices. If you look at the actual analysis of the economic plans of Trump versus Kamala Harris, what they would do to the deficit, what they would do to inflation, what they would do to essential services, we wouldn't even be having much of a debate right now. There'd be such a massive swing in the polls. Far too many people are just listening to the rhetoric and going, yeah, that sounds tough, and spreading the lies that he's been spreading about his own record, about Kamala Harris and everything else. Now, all of that I just said, you notice there's no audience here, but there's no live audience here in the room. But I've just been talking and talking, and if there were a live audience, I would have been ignoring them right now. That's what's going to happen tonight, I predict. Because that's what he does. That's what he does, much like his last two attempts at a so-called press conference, where those are just minor interruptions in what is otherwise a monologue. In a place like La Crosse, poor La Crosse, you don't deserve this today. It's move-in day. There will be at least 3,000 UW La Crosse students moving into dormitories and off-campus housing. A couple of blocks away from the La Crosse Center, a Viking cruise ship is going to be docking at Riverside Park. Those poor folks, they go for a Viking cruise. They can't wait to go up and down the Mississippi. We're really going to see America. Oh, we're going to stop in lovely La Crosse, one of the most beautiful downtowns. And what do we got going on here? Oh, it's a MAGA rally with Tulsi Gabbard coming in and maybe RFK Jr. I'm not sure. And then there's something called Moon Tunes that's happening at the park as well. It's just going to be a traffic nightmare. And I will be curious to hear if people come out of there, people who aren't already, shall we say, MAGA, infused, if other people will come out of there with any kind of sense that, yes, Trump actually did make that pivot. How do you like that? He actually did sound presidential after all. I don't think that that's actually what we're going to get. Also in the news related to it, you heard me mention the feud with Arlington National Cemetery. And as I was worried about, the altercation that was mentioned at Arlington National Cemetery when Trump used the cemetery for a political stunt, for a photo op, it was, in fact, a woman that they were bullying and pushing. And while she is filing a report, she declined to file charges because she's worried that she will then face intimidation and retribution and perhaps violence from Trump supporters. And that's where we are. And that's what Trump's people know. They know that they can bully people around, and that if anybody disagrees with them, they can essentially dox them. They can have them, swatted. How do we know? Mike Gallagher says so. The outgoing congressman talked to the Washington Post about the reasons that he's leaving office and talked about a SWAT team showing up at his house because he was swatted by people that didn't think he was Republican enough. That's where we are right now in this country, until more people stand up to it. And by standing up to it at this point in this year, 2024, that means electing Democrats. And as as the Republican former Lieutenant Governor of Georgia told the Democratic convention, voting for Democrats this year doesn't make you a Democrat. It makes you a patriot. It means you're looking out for America until the Republican Party can rescue itself from Trumpism. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I have so many people in my life who are Republicans, who are right of center, who I love and respect, and we want to go back to disagreeing on certain things. But the first thing we have to agree on is getting rid of the scourge of somebody who wants to be a dictator and, frankly, tear down the economy and a lot of our security as well. Joe Zepecki is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The soybean market has faced a bit of a slump, and this is in part due to projected yields. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Thursday morning. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing tells us why soybean markets are struggling to find footing.
Even with this heat out there, there's the potential of a very, very large crop of soybeans out there. We saw those pro farmer numbers. Again, obviously, those are just in their estimate, but when you start talking 54 bushels to the acre, nearly 55, that's a massive, massive soybean crop. The problem there is we just aren't seeing the demand to absorb those types of bushels at this time frame. So the markets continue to struggle to find some footing. Now, we were a little higher in beans yesterday. I think that was fueled by the weather, but I'm looking at a radar today that's bringing some rain across Minnesota, western Iowa, as this heat hopefully breaks here in the next day or so, and this crop can get focused back into finishing itself out.
John Heinberg is a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Stick around. We'll take a look at the morning trade next.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVits Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
Thursday morning from Chicago, cash corn is trading up a half a cent at 365 and three quarters. December new crop corn up three quarters of a penny at 391 and a half. Soybeans are seeing some strength to kick off the day. Cash beans up 8 cents at 966 and a half. November new crop beans up 6 cents at 983 a bushel. On the close yesterday from Chicago, barrel cheese gave back its gains, closing at 212 and a half, down 12 and a half cents. The 40-pound block cheese closed down 6.5 cents at 207.5, and AA butter is unchanged from Tuesday at 319.75. Class 3 milk contracts are also trading down. The September contract down 11 cents at 22.06 a hundredweight. The October Class 3 milk contract down 2 cents at 22.42 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. Some locally heavy rain possible, an inch or more in spots. Our high today, 81. After that, heading into a fantastic weekend, sunny, more comfortable. We're talking highs in the low 70s by Sunday at Labor Day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Crude and Dom.
Donald Trump will be in La Crosse on Thursday evening for a town hall, and Crute will be on site in anticipation of the festive gala. Be here for the greatest radio show ever.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
All right, let's keep things rolling on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning. As advertised, Joe Zepecki. He's here. He's back from vacation. Joe, how are you?
I'm great. Gotta love that crisp mountain air that we enjoyed for a few days. Yes. And also nice to be home again. We stuffed a lot into a four-day trip.
Well, you kind of have to do that. And, you know, you've got the experience, the wisdom, I'm not calling you old, to know that while a political convention is going on, if you don't have to be there or be a part of it, it's a good time to skip out of town.
Yeah, I mean, we did watch all four nights from the comfort of our living room and then decamped for the Great American West. But, yeah, it was a nice way to sort of keep the high going off of last week's convention, which was a smashing success for Democrats. And then we went and played around for 4 days, and now we're back and ready for that sprint to the finish.
It's an unfair question. I don't know that anybody has the single best answer to this, but I mean, what kept it all together? We know what Democrats can typically do, and there wasn't the slightest bit of fracturing. And will we look back on this as more luck than anything else, or was there just that much relief that President Biden, despite the gratitude for years of service, made the decision that he did, and that was really the only good reason why you didn't have the far left and the center left locking horns as they often do?
The great James Carville, that raging Cajun, said in an interview with the New Republic that I haven't listened to yet, but the pull quote from it, I think, fits here and answers your question. Quote, "The most thunderous sound in all of American politics is the sound of a turning page." And I really think that James gets at why this went the way that it did. And you and I have talked about it. Mm-hmm. It turns out, in hindsight, it's always easy to be smart in hindsight, in retrospect. It turns out that millions upon millions of Americans were desperately wanting there to be a turning of the page. We're so over the Trump-Biden era of American politics, did not want this choice that they had 4 years ago. And like, not to get too highfalutin here, but I think it's not insane to think about this as like a little bit of a trauma response.
Yeah.
In 2020, what we went through as a community, as a society, as a culture, as Americans was awful. It was terrible. And it affected everybody. Rich or poor, black or white, it affected different groups differently and disparately, to be sure. But it was an incredibly challenging time. And we ended up with a presidential election in the middle of it that was pretty exhausting because Donald Trump is pretty exhausting, and pretty terrible because Donald Trump is pretty terrible. And Joe Biden, God love him, Lord knows I do, was not ever going to be a transformational, inspirational, you know, figure. He had to, throughout that campaign, describe himself as a bridge to the future. And right. I think folks kind of got lost in, well, how long is that bridge, right? Are we talking about the Golden Gate Bridge? Or are we talking about the Blatnik Bridge? There's a difference in how long those bridges are, right?
Right.
And so now, 4 years later, the notion that we would be stuck with the same choice from that terrible period of our lives, when in almost every respect we've moved on, the economy's doing better, people are back to work, people are back in school, people are healthier, we're not losing thousands of Americans every day. The trauma response part of that being, but wait, but suddenly we're like right back where we were when it comes to our politics? Good grief. And so the turning of the page moment that Carville's talking about and that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz represent is the thunderous sound reverberating across America right now in the halls of the United Center last week, showing up in all of these online organizing events that are happening, in the low dollar donations, and most importantly, because some of that stuff is like, it's just noise, and I always try to look for signal amidst all the noise. But when you look at the 13 states that have updated their voter files since July 21st, that's the day that Joe Biden said he was stepping aside. 13 states have updated their voter reg files since then. The surges in voter registration versus 2020 are astonishing, and is being driven by women, voters of color, and young voters. 176% more new registrations by Black women aged 18 to 29 than there were 4 years ago. 150% more new registrations from Hispanic women 18 to 29 than there were 4 years ago. A full 100% more of Black women, and on and on and on you go. And then all the way at the bottom of the list, I'm looking at a chart, 8% more Republicans have registered than compared to 4 years ago at this time. So I'll take the 176% growth in registration. That tells me exactly how thunderous that sound of a turning page is. And man, we saw it on full display last week. We're seeing it to this point. I don't think the Harris bump is over out of the convention. So, you know, lots of good news out there if you're a Democrat.
Well, without a doubt. And as a reminder, tomorrow morning, we'll have a special 2-hour edition of Up North News Radio where it's nothing but Wisconsin voices from the Democratic convention, all sorts of people that I talk to. And spoiler alert, I wrap it up with the 16-year-old granddaughter of a delegate who came along as a guest. And you can just hear in her voice relief. She's not even a voter yet, but relief that there's this new person in Kamala Harris to turn to. And yet, you had all of this adulation toward Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, the Obamas. And I think when you said a few minutes ago, people were tired of the Trump-Biden phase, I'm actually taking that to mean Americans are really getting tired of the Trump phase, and that Biden was the thing that came along at the time. He was familiar. He had been vice president for 8 years. He was the one thing that could be the stopgap on putting the Trump years to rest. But he wasn't, but he simply wasn't meant to be the permanent thing. And so people are very thankful for the service. And by the way, Joe, because so many people still don't actually know everything that Joe Biden got done in his first 2 years, I think it only reinforces the point that people, they really needed him in 2020. They really want to move on in 2024. And I think it's only over time that more and more people are going to say, wait a minute, this Inflation Reduction Act really helps me. Wait a minute, this American Rescue Plan really made a difference. Wait a minute, the CHIPS and Science Act really brought manufacturing back. You know, the kind of thing that Biden's going to come to Wisconsin, Southwest Wisconsin, next week to talk about. He doesn't get to do it anymore on behalf of himself for running for president, but he and others still have quite a story to tell about what this administration actually accomplished, not in 4 years, Joe, in 2 years when they had Democratic majorities in Congress.
Yeah, there's no question. In a just world, the world that people say they want, well, I want to know about the policies and what have you done for me and who you fight. Like, by that measure, by every one of those measures, Joe Biden was and is a great American president. But I think you're right that history and the passage of time is going to judge him far more favorably than people did in the moment. And the reality of our 21st century media environment is the president's age was an issue. And it just, it's not for you or I to agree or disagree with or say it matters more or less than what he was able to get accomplished in a democracy, in the thing that we're fighting to preserve against Donald Trump and Project 2025, is the notion that if the American people say something matters, it matters. That's the point. We're the sovereign. And if the people said, sorry, Joe, you're too old and we don't want to sign you up for another 4-year term, the fact that he listened, that he heard that and stepped aside and made this most magnanimous gesture and stepped aside so that Kamala Harris could turn the page, My God, the chapters of history books that are going to be written about him are going to be fawning, as they should be.
Yeah.
If this all goes to plan in the next 70 plus days.
And with that, let us turn the page now ourselves to something that was in the news. Well, should have been in the news last week, but we had the convention going on. And that was a governor's task force report on the healthcare labor shortage. And obviously, you're very familiar with this with your work with Protect Our Care. So this is not exactly a news flash to you, that one of the main recommendations of the report is if you want to address the healthcare labor shortage, then finally, Wisconsin needs to be expanding the Medicaid program and stop being one of the last 9 or 10 holdout states.
Yeah, it's everywhere you look, you see examples of what would be better in Wisconsin if we expanded Medicaid, because it's cost the state more than $1 billion with a B. We are missing out on opportunities to make investments in our workforce, in our communities, in our schools. And this particular report, which is specifically on the healthcare workforce, really drives home something that everybody should understand, which is the graying of Wisconsin and the graying of America, the demographic change and period that we're in. There is more demand for healthcare services than ever before. If you are a young person looking to start a career, isn't sure if maybe a 4-year college is right for you, look at nursing, look at going into healthcare. If you're somebody who's been impacted by sort of some of that churn in the labor force and, well, we can do more with less and there's some efficiencies in manufacturing and you're looking for a new career, think about taking a nursing or a healthcare course, because this is not going to change. People are going to have good careers in healthcare for years to come, whether or not we pass the Medicaid expansion, frankly. But if we pass the Medicaid expansion, finally, after all these years, that progress will come faster and it will be less of a burden on those elderly folks who are trying to enjoy their golden years, but are maybe struggling to get the support that they need. We don't want to see that for our parents and grandparents. We don't, and we want to see young people and our neighbors, you know, working jobs that are not just about the paycheck, but that have a purpose. And certainly healthcare is a field where both of those things are true. All of those things are true all at the same time.
Yes. Important for not just the grain of Wisconsin, but the grain of this one particular talk show host. There's just no stopping the process.
We're not letting you retire though, Pat. Forget about it.
No, I guess not. All right. Finally, let's come back to the presidential for a moment, because RFK Jr. will still be on the ballot. Jill Stein will be on the Wisconsin ballot. Cornel West will be on the Wisconsin ballot. There are arguments that were made as to why they shouldn't be on the ballot, not the least of which is Robert Kennedy Jr.'s withdrawal from the race. But my question to you is this, and I'm not going to say third party. They're independent candidates because there is no real party apparatus. But Joe, I'm just your typical voter guy. I don't feel like I'm a Democrat or a Republican. And so I really want to vote for one of these independent people because I'm an independent person. But Joe, do you want to talk me out of that?
Honestly, there are people who do that every 4 years and who can't be talked out of it. And that's okay. We need those folks, right? And there are a lot fewer folks today who are considering that, because the choice has changed at the top of the ticket with the two major parties. There were more people looking for that landing spot when it was Joe Biden versus Donald Trump than there are today when it's Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump. So I am not super concerned about these independent candidates, these spoiler candidates. I would just remind folks, it is a binary choice insofar as there's only two people who will be the next president of the United States, Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. And when you look at all of those independent candidates, they are all being supported by Donald Trump's backers, minions, funders, etc. And, you know, I believe people have the information they need and they can choose accordingly.
Well, you're much kinder than I am. I usually just go off on a lecture about this is a binary choice. And if you go so-called independent, you're just playing the role of spoiler for one of them. So have the courage of your convictions and pick one or the other. You are much,
Pat,
you're kind
of a lot of things. I'm a lot of things. And one of those things, some of the time, is a nice guy.
We know, and we appreciate it. Joe Specky, thank you so much. Glad you had a good trip. Enjoy Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
We will have today's history lesson coming up in just a moment. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Pretty woman walking down the street, pretty woman.
What a busy year 1964 was. Not just the year I came along, but all these great songs and movies. Roy Orbison released Oh Pretty Woman on this day 60 years ago. Mercy.
My dad loved this man.
Oh, how could you not? Listen to that voice. The sunglasses, just the whole vibe.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to the Goodyear Tire Company, founded in Akron, Ohio, on this day in 1898. Happy birthday to the internal combustion motorcycle, patented this day in 1885 by Gottlieb Daimler of Daimler Chrysler fame. Happy birthday to the U.S. Air Force Academy, which opened in Colorado Springs 66 years ago today, 1958. And happy birthday to Netflix, launched as an internet DVD rental service. Does anybody else still have a Netflix DVD that they forgot to return?
I think we found a couple when we moved in. When we moved out of our a place in Bayview, and I think we threw them out.
I found one years later. I was so embarrassed I couldn't find it. You know, I had to pay the fee or whatever it was. And yeah, years later, moving something around in the basement, and there it was. I'm like, oh, well, okay, bye.
But I think the first year or two of Netflix existing was people just going, so let me get this straight. You go online and they send you them. So what about the late fees? Make me understand this. It was so confusing at first with Netflix because you're like, it was so simply like, this can't be right. This can't be real.
And now, of course, it's nothing like that. It reminds me of Amazon. I mean, Amazon is now like the corner store for so many people.
Yeah.
It was a bookstore.
Yep.
It was like, oh, here's a place where you can order books over the internet. And Netflix was, oh, they send you DVDs in the mail. It's nothing like that now. They've been able to, you know, move with the times, whereas, say, every Sears department store, you know, is all shuttered up.
Or so Blockbuster.
Yes. Just tells you kids, be nimble. The number one song this day in 1970 was by Edwin Starr. On this day in 1966, the Beatles performed their last what you would call a traditional concert, you know, before paying fans at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. Happy birthday to Ingrid Bergman. The late Ingrid Bergman was born this day in 1915, passed away in 1982. We will always have Paris. I'm going to have to watch Casablanca real soon again, just because it's reminded me of one of my favorite movies.
Nice.
Happy birthday to Pebbles. Perry Reed is 59 years old today.
Sorry, can I? I'd like to. I ordered an extra helping of 80s, please. Thank you very much.
Yes. This is also the anniversary of the birth of John McCain, who was born 88 years ago today. Passed away, of course, in 2018. Donald Trump famously resisted lowering flags to half staff out of personal spite, because that's the kind of guy he is. Actor Elliot Gould, 86 years old today. He's been in, I don't have his IMDb in front of me. I'm pretty sure the number is 1 million. He's been in 1 million different things, yeah. Elliot Gould. Happy birthday to Associate Justice, and I put that in quotes because the Supreme Court seat was stolen. Neil Gorsuch is 57 years old today.
Well.
As we mentioned earlier, it's just the theft of a Supreme Court seat. You know, we should all just get over it, right? Right?
Of course.
As mentioned earlier, this would have been Michael Jackson's 66th birthday today. Of course, Michael Jackson passed away in 2009. It's a rather sad anniversary from 2005. This was the day that Hurricane Katrina devastated much of the Gulf Coast from Louisiana to Florida, killing an estimated 1,836 people. And there is some music news in and amongst all of those casualties. One of them was Barry Cowsill of the Cowsills, who drowned in the storm at the age of 50. The late Fats Domino was 77 years old at the time, and he survived after being rescued from his home in the Ninth Ward. I toured the Ninth Ward as part of a conference trip to New Orleans. Oh, gosh, has to be 6-7 years ago by now. And it's just weird to see the concrete steps that used to be somebody's front steps all around that neighborhood. But there's no houses. There's just the front steps. And it just brings it all back as to how terrible that storm was that day.
Yeah. We went to New Orleans a couple of years ago, and one of our Lyft drivers was like a 70-some-year-old woman. And we were asking about, you know, her life there. And she was talking about living through that terrible, terrible time. And we're like, are you going to go live with your kids eventually? She's like, nope, this is where my life is. This is where me and my husband built our lives. So I'm not leaving. I'm like, no, you're not, ma'am. No, you are not. No. Here's a $1,000 tip.
Yeah. Oh, it's just sad. Let's see. Let's go back a year where things were a little bit more upbeat. 2004, the MTV Video of the Year at the MTV Video Music Awards went to Outkast.
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
The night is also significant because it marked the first red carpet appearance by the newly dating couple of Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Wow.
And also taking home an MTV award for best rock video that night was Jet.
So 1, 2, 3, take my hand and come with me because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine.
Am I mistaken, or... I mean, are they in one hit wonder category?
They had, if I'm not mistaken, they have two songs that were hits. And by my calculations, Pat, that's two more hits than I have. So they're good.
So it still works for them. That's good. All right. Let's see. This is National Lemon Juice Day. So pour yourself a glass of lemon juice and enjoy that with your breakfast.
Weird.
I know. This is More Herbs, Less Salt Day. You know, okay.
Okay. We're both
looking like, okay, I got stuff from Pansies. I should be trying some other stuff. Sure.
I got 30-year-old basil leaves. Fine. All right, cool.
Yeah, they make such a difference now. This is National Chop Suey Day. And honestly, I haven't even seen the words chop suey since my old school lunch menus. But I looked. It's still on menus. Something I don't regularly have. And this is National Cabernet Day, if that's what you're looking for in your evening beverage. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area is coming up, along with our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll talk about Jack Smith's new superseding indictment against Donald Trump, and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joins us. He's now with Civic.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Stock up on everyday essentials at Menards and save big money. We're your one-stop shop for pet food and supplies. Blue Buffalo dog and cat food is made with real meat and natural ingredients that your pets will love. Save big on Blue Buffalo pet food at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.